everybody, and welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast that takes writing, which can be a little bit difficult, and makes it easy. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
Melissa, spring has sprung.
Spring
and is my allergies can attest.
Oh my gosh, you too?
Oh my god, it's terrible. Even my dog has allergies. He's sneezing.
I always feel like Emmy sneezes and it's very aggressive and I feel sad because she like her whole head body convulses.
Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? I'm not going to give my dog Zyrtec. I mean, like, you just, sorry, dog. You just got to suck it up. But
yeah,
he's still really angry that he's not in Texas anymore. He's still in this winter, he's like, there's this snow. And now in the spring, I have allergies. Lady, could we not? Let's just go back to Texas. There's none of this problem there.
I thought it would be better in LA, but it really, it's a little better than Charlotte, but it's about Ohio Midwest allergies for me.
You get smog sometimes too, right?
Yeah, it was very smoggy yesterday.
Oof. I remember I was in LA once and I went up to Griffith Park and just looking down, because you could see down into the valley, the strata of smog. Now that was 20 plus years ago, so hopefully it's better now.
Yeah.
But it was gross. And I was like, I'm going to go back down into that. Oh, that wasn't fun. Yeah. But we are not here to complain about the weather. We are here to talk about writing. And, you know, spring is a time of renewal, right? Let's tie this together. Spring is a time of renewal. Yeah. And therefore, we talk about starting new projects. Melissa, you've got the quote this week, right?
I do. And our quote is from Maya Angelou, whose birthday was April 4th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. She's such a wonderful, creative soul.
She's still with us, right?
No, she passed 3 years ago, maybe?
Okay, I thought so. But you never know. You're like, oh, wait, are they dead? No, yes. Okay, so
yeah, it's worse to say they're dead when they're alive.
I know, right? I'd rather do that way. So, yeah.
Yes.
Well, on that happy note.
But we'll take our wisdom from her, one of the greats. And she said, you can't use up creativity. The more you use, the more you have, which I love.
That's really nice. I love that. That's really encouraging because sometimes you do feel like you can run out. But to that end, what we're going to talk about is starting new projects. Like, when should you start a new project and when shouldn't you? Some good ideas. So I've done a whole ton of research. I got a whole bunch of good stuff that we could talk about. And I'm really eager to get started. What do you say?
Yeah, I could use this because I am always wondering if I should start a new project.
Yeah. So here are some things that we talked about is, first of all, when should you start a project and when shouldn't you start a new project? Let's start when not to start a new project. Let's do that first. Because I think the biggest thing that happens, at least for me and probably for you too, is that I always have this siren song when I'm working on something and I'm in the weeds and I'm really working at the hard part that I go, this little voice comes, you know, if you start something new, it'll be much easier, right?
Yes.
So this time, we're going to do it right. You won't make this mistake again. Start fresh.
Yeah, I get that too. Or I get this idea is much better. It's something that will sell better or it'll have more fans and this is going to be the next big thing, so I should jump to this project right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one's hard.
And of course, that's an illusion, right? Because their current thing seems old and tired out because, you know, you hate its face. You've been with it for so long. It seems like old hat. It's kind of, you know, a little 7-year itch. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. The new idea is Marilyn Monroe on the Great and your... I don't remember any of the other actors in that movie who played, because it was there's a husband, I don't know, and then his wife, and then Marilyn Monroe.
Nope.
I don't know. Nothing. But yes, so don't fall for Marilyn Monroe. Your idea is standing on the grate with their skirt blowing up. Don't do that. So I also found a great article. It actually comes from a book called The Successful Writer Mindset by Joanna Penn, which I really want to get. And she had a really good way of putting it that there's sort of three energies that happen when you're on a project. So first, there's the starting energy, which is like this great rush. It's like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And I know I totally have that, mm-hmm. right? Because you all the ideas are coming and they're great. You don't have to worry about how to put them together. You just kind of like go, go, go and stuff. And yeah, oh, and this and this and this and this and this. And it's so much fun and it's great and you should enjoy it. But it will also not get you to the end. And that takes you to the second energy that Ms. Penn describes, is the pushing through energy. And that, I think, is the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because it's the sagging middle. It's the part where, okay, you've got all these great ideas. Now you have to make them work. You're getting tired of it. You've gone through 3 or 4 drafts now. And you're like, shouldn't it be done by now? It ought to be done. Most people are done by now, right? Mm-hmm. They aren't. I assure you they are not. Although I have to say that sometimes I hear people who do that, do like very few drafts. They just do it. And I mean, I like them, but I really want to hate them because that's not fair.
It's not. No.
Yeah. So this pushing through energy, the sagging middle, this is the hardest part. This is where you really test your mettle, where you're really building that muscle. And that's where you start to think,
do something else.
Yeah.
I should do the dishes.
Yeah, the third part is the finishing energy, which is, you know, where like you can see the finish line. You're like, oh, I got to do this. That's where I am in my current project. I was just like, yes, I that gets me through because I want to be done with the goddamn thing. So that's exciting. But that middle, boy.
The middle is rough. That middle phase, it's where you doubt yourself, where you think, if I've completed works before, it was a fluke, and like this is going to mm-hmm. be the book that tanks me. Like everybody's going to mm-hmm. find out I'm a fraud. You write yourself mm-hmm. into corners, and then you realize you have to go back and rewrite or toss half the story, and it's so frustrating.
And you feel like, because it's so different from what it is from that starting energy, where everything's great. You know, it's all right. yes. But now, when you're in the middle, you have to start saying no to things like, okay, well, this idea doesn't work, I'm going to cut it, or this, okay, we're going to change it. And you start to feel like, oh, all that energy at the beginning, that was a lie. I wasn't a great idea. It was a terrible idea. But the thing I think to keep in mind is that this happens to literally everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone has that problem. And so to feel that, that's right. It means you're on the right track. That means you're getting really into the guts of it. You're really working with it. So enjoy that. And then she had some actually really good tips of just kind of how to not fall for Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
One thing that she says, and I was really happy because I always do this too, is she says, don't write your opening scene first.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, an opening scene.
It is. Yeah. Because you're like, this has got to be, because they always say like, oh, the agents look at the opening sentence, readers, they read the first sentence and that's all you get. You got to hook them in the first sentence. So you sit down, you're like, okay, I'm going to write a book. Go. You're like, that's horrible. You can't do that to yourself.
Well, I think if you're going to attempt to write the first scene or the first, you know, your intro, I think you have to accept the fact that you are likely going to completely change it because you don't mm-hmm. know what needs to be there, which is fine. But like, don't get so consumed with trying to mm-hmm. make it perfect that you don't get to the rest of the story.
There'll be time for that later.
Yeah.
And another trick I've heard is you write a prologue and then you just cut it. Like you write it, you're like, okay, here's my prologue, my opening thing, great. And then now scene two. So then later you take that prologue and you wad it up and you throw it in the trash, figuratively or literally, depending on your medium, because it frees you up.
Oh, we could do a whole episode on prologues, because in television, they're basically teasers and they love mm-hmm. them. Like you have to fight to not have a teaser or like sort of prologue.
Cold
basically.
Open.
Yeah, in the structure, because people are obsessed with them.
If they're done right, like if they loop around at the end, that could be fun. You know, like a lot of times when mystery shows, they'll do that where you see this scene with this person and this guy and you're like, "What? Who are these people? Okay, whatever." And what you don't realize is that's actually everything you needed to know. Like right. That's all the answers, but not in a way that you'll ever understand until you get to the end and you're like, oh, I see how that is.
No pressure. And in that same instance, you are not going to have a perfect teaser on your first go round because you've got to write the rest of the script first.
Odds are that scene was written after. Like that was last, right? Because you had to figure out all the other stuff first. You're like, okay, now I know the answer and I can put this trick in the beginning.
Yep.
If you do it the other way, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it gives you trouble, feel free to throw it out. Another tip is, she says, just to address your fear and your perfectionism. You know, just look at yourself and say, okay, what is this really the project that I'm criticizing? Or is this coming out of a place of my own fear, my own need to be perfect, which is perfectionism is fear, right? You're demanding so much because you're afraid of failure. So is that what's happening? Because if that's what's happening, that's not an energy you need to have in your writing. Your writing self can't be aware of your business perfect self. Like, that just doesn't happen. Okay, this is an odd metaphor. But I remember one time, I think it was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Elmo was on. And the guy who was his Muppeteer, whose name I cannot remember, and who I believe has since disgraced himself somewhat, so we'll just not name him anyway.
Yeah.
Peter Sagal was asking Elmo a question about Elmo toys. And the puppeteer said, actually, you know what? Elmo is just a monster who lives on Sesame Street. He's not aware of any toys. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way to put it. You know, like, Elmo's not going to address that. That's not in Elmo's reality. So your writer self, the self that's actually creating the book, has to be Elmo. And then you have another part of yourself that is the part that, well, that A, will edit and will sell and will do all that stuff. And that's the one that can be a perfectionist. But Elmo, your inner Elmo, has to be kind of pure. And so Elmo will keep writing. And that's the third tip, is just keep writing. Just keep writing. Keep going. You can always fix it later.
So don't start a new project because your current one is hard.
Because the new one will be just as hard.
Yes.
Now, on the other hand, another reason why you shouldn't do a project is if you really don't have it in you right now. Right? Because sometimes you don't have the time, the energy, the focus, the health to do a writing project. That's okay too. Because sometimes I know I get that, where I feel guilty that I'm not writing something. It's like, oh God, I got to be writing something. If I'm not writing something, then I'm not really a writer. Oh my God. But you know, if you need a break, if you've got family things you're taking care of, or you're not feeling well, you've got health issues, physical or mental, or you're tired, you need a rest, that's allowed. You know, this isn't torture. Much as it feels like it.
It's not. It's something that took me a really long time to learn and understand, because I always thought, if I stop writing, then I'm not a writer. I'll never start again. Yes. And I had to understand and accept that I could put something aside and not work on a new project, and I was still a writer, and it was core to who I am as a person, and I would come back to it when I was ready. And that's not quitting. Mm-hmm. It's not a failure. It's not like all these things that society labels us as if we're not actively writing 3,000 words a day, working on like multiple projects that are going to be released that year. So that has been something that I've struggled with. I also find that I need that time to recharge. I need to read other people's books. I need to watch other shows. I need to be inspired. And I always, well, for a while, I felt really guilty doing that, because I thought, I should be writing. I should not be reading. But like, the reason I'm a writer is because I love books and I love story. And so I need to be inspired by other people's worlds.
And sometimes, you know, you need to do the laundry.
Yeah.
And you need to pick the kids up after school if you have them, or you need to walk. Like, you have to be alive too. You have to be a human being to be an artist. So take care of that Elmo as well. You're full of Elmos.
Elmo. I will not do my Elmo impersonation.
Please don't. It was there. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
So those are good reasons not to start a new project. I think that covers, I can't think of any other reasons not to. I mean, you know, if someone's like threatening you violently, well, that's a different problem, you know, but. Yeah, it's all right. Anyway, I've drifted from the point. The point, however, is, when should you start a new project? What are the things that you say, okay, yes, now it is time? Obviously, if you aren't in the middle of something, you're probably all right. What else? What are some good signs that it's time to find something new?
Well, so I don't like unused time. So I feel like if you finished a project, but it's with like an editor, or it's with your beta readers or your critique group, to me, instead of just not doing anything, I feel like that's a good time to start thinking about something else. Because then when you go back and get that feedback on your other project and you have to start revisions, you're not still so mired in that world that you can't accept the feedback and make the changes. So it's nice to take, to use that break to get inspired and focused on something else so that it's, you have come back to it with fresher eyes.
Yeah. And yeah, and it, you do notice things differently than you did. There's a lot of times I've gone back to a draft and gone, oh, and sometimes it's like, oh, this is better than I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't half bad. Son of a gun.
Look, I'm a writer.
Yay. 3 weeks ago, I hated this thing. Now I'm like, all right.
Yeah. I almost always think the opposite. So like if I'm really excited and I write like, oh, I wrote the best scene ever, when I go back and I'm like, ooh, no, that was not the best scene. Or yeah, it's the reverse and I think it's horrible and I take some time away and then I come back and I'm like, oh no, yeah, this works.
Yeah. The other thing that we don't want to happen is to have the one book, right? Like, I have been working on this book. This is the book. This is my book. It's 300,000 pages and I've been working on it for the last 10 years. Yep. And I know it can make it a little bit better. And I know it just, yeah. So there's a point you have to do something else. You can't just live in this life.
Yeah. I feel like this is a trap that a lot of new writers fall into. And I think it's about confidence in your, again, that well of creativity and your ability to come up with new ideas. And you just obsess over this one story and it's like, oh, it's not quite perfect. And the secret that I will share with folks is that even after somebody buys your manuscript, you sell it to a publisher, you get an agent, or, you know, if you're working in television and you get a manager, whatever, it's still going to change. It is not finished. And so it's almost like that 80-20 rule. It's like, yes, it needs to be, there shouldn't be typos. It should be a strong story. But you also have to accept the fact that it's going to continue to evolve. And you're going to go through a lot of revisions in the publishing process. And they're immediately going to ask you, what else do you have? And if you can't answer that, like, an agent is not going to want to work with you. Because they make their money off of selling your work, and they need to know that you have multiple things for them to sell.
I think it comes, there's two myths, I think, that fuel this. One is that, oh, her first novel was her breakout, right? Mm. Like, we want, this is the first book that she's ever written, and now it's huge. And like, A, sometimes that does happen, and we don't like those people very much. Also, that might be a story that's kind of invented. You know, they say, oh yeah, it's her first novel. Well, it's the first novel that published, you know, like, well, yeah, it's not the first one she wrote ever, or it's the first one she wrote, but then she wrote six others and then came back to this one, right? So there's that, don't even worry about that. And also, I think, you know, everyone faces rejection. When you start off, you know, you're just, you get no's, a lot of them. And it's easy to start to think, well, I guess I have to fix it. Like, the reason I'm getting a no is because there's something inherently wrong with this book. Let me fix it. Let me get it right. And then I'll get a yes. And there is some truth to that. Like, obviously, if there's problems with your book, but there's also, it's not a question of that piece being something that's going to get you ready. It's where you are as a writer. You have to be ready. And the best way to get ready is to build your muscle. And the good way to build your muscle is to do a bunch of different things, not obsess over fixing one book. Does that make sense?
Yes. The best piece of advice I got when I was first starting, I had just finished my first novel and was super excited. One of my friends was published. She connected me to her editor who read it and loved it. And it was also like, it was a genre mashup. She was like, I don't know how to sell this. Like, it's very complicated. It wasn't a linear plot. And she's like, I can tell that you are a really strong writer. But like, I need you to write a different book because I can sell a different book. I can't sell this one. And it wasn't the right time for that story. Mm-hmm. And so that forced me to start a new project. But I also learned. And as the more I write, like, the better I become at writing. Mm-hmm. And now I can go back to that story and see all of the things that were kind of making it a little bit clunky and use my new skills that I attribute that I got from writing other books to make that one better. I still haven't sold that book, but that's because I haven't put it out there, because it's like, it does feel kind of like my, oh, it's like an opus or something. It's like something that's so personal at this point that it's really hard to let go of. But at the same time, I also know that like, it's not, it doesn't match the vision that I had in my head. And so I just work on other things, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's better. It's good. You got to do that. Yeah. Because if you want to think about it this way, that book needs you to be a different writer to get it to where it needs to be. So you are doing that book the honor it needs by writing other things. How's that sound?
Exactly. That is it.
Is that good justification? All right. Yeah. So I did find another really good article. It's from a website called Write to Done. And Sally Wolf wrote this great article. It's a listicle, because of course, and it's 5 irrefutable signs you need to start a writing project now. And she kind of had 3 inner ones and 2 outer ones. The inner ones are a little more woo-woo. She says, if the idea refuses to go away, you feel like you can't do other stuff, and your manuscript has come out of its coma.
What does that mean?
I think it means, like I said before, like sometimes the thing has to sit and bake for a little bit. When it's done baking and you see that there's something to it and it's fresh eyes, I think that's what she's talking about there. The piece tells you what to do, not your fears. Mm-hmm. And then the outer reasons were, if people keep asking you when you're going to start or finish your book, it's like, so when are you starting that book? Like, yeah, when are you going to finish that thing? Although honestly, if someone says to me, when are you going to finish that thing? I don't want to answer them. That's none of their business. That's rude. I'm like, when are you going to finish that book? Shut up. When are you going to lose 10 pounds, Carol?
If they're paying you, I'm like...
If they're paying you, yes, that is allowed. But like at a party, when are you going to finish that book? Just, I have no words for you, lady. And then she had an interesting point. If you're at a time in your life where you feel like you need to leave a legacy, like you've just retired, right? And you want to write a book about what you've just done, or you know, you're at a point in your life where you're like, okay, this has happened, now we need to do a project about it, might be a good sign that you need to do it.
Yeah,
that's all I had about starting a new project. I think that covers, you know, the making the decision of whether to start or not.
So Mary, are you starting a new project?
Not yet, because I am still in pushing through energy.
Right answer.
I'm still pushing through. almost there. I need to start something. I need to finish this draft and I need to let it bake and do something else. But I keep going back to it because I really want to finish it. I think I need to listen to my own advice a little bit and take a break. How about you? Are you starting something new?
So I have a new project that I want to work on that I can't work on yet because I have other projects that have to come first for career reasons.
Yep.
You know, and like agents and managers and programs have deadlines and like there's things that I have to put first. Yes, I'm always kind of doing something new. But the great thing about writing TV is that it doesn't take as long as a novel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of planning and prep, but you know, you can crank one out in a month in terms of drafts and revision. Yeah.
I think you have to, like, right? Like if you're on a writing staff, you kind of have to knock them out really quickly, right?
Yes. If you're on staff, they're usually, well, it depends. Like, but you can have it anywhere from like a week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks to write. Depending on what it is, when they're shooting, who's, what the network is, everybody has different schedules. There's nothing uniform about Hollywood. Everything is different. It's just like, whatever.
I don't think I can handle that. I'm a little too structured, but yeah, I think we've pretty much done it. I think this is it. I think we've told everything we know.
I think so. That's it. We're tapped out.
We're done. Which is too bad because we have an Instagram, which is Writing Easy Podcast. So check that out. Follow us there. We have a Twitter, or we'll do very, very soon, which will also be Writing Easy Podcast. You can check that out. Follow us for other great things. And do you have anything else?
No.
Well, then I think it's time to wrap up the episode.
I think so.
All righty. Well, thank you, everybody. Remember that writing is hard.
So take it easy.
I am Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa. Bye.
Bye, guys.